Amen. Let's take our Bible and turn to the book of 1 John. And we're trying to preach the book of 1 John. And while you're finding your place there, we're going to turn Trevor loose Sunday night. Amen. Amen. And he'll preach his first message here Sunday night. And so we appreciate what the Lord's doing in their hearts. Amen. Amen. All right. 1 John. 1 John. Are you glad you're saved tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody says, I don't feel saved. Well, guess what? Salvation's not a feeling. Amen. It's a fact. Amen. We've put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We put faith in Him. Amen. All right. 1 John. Now, we looked at this book. Now, John, the great writer, of course, the book of John, he deals with our salvation. In this book, he deals with our sanctification. And then in Revelation, he deals with our glorification. And, of course, the outline that we've been looking at here in chapter number 1, I'm not outlining the whole book tonight, but in chapter 1, we've looked at verse number 4, it's a full joy. Verses 5 through 7, we've looked at fellowship, and that's what we dealt with the last time. We dealt with our fellowship. And, a matter of fact, the first sermon, we dealt with this, some things that we know. And about the book of 1 John, and about John, just dealt with that a little bit, kind of as an introduction. Then we came back and preached the second message on some things that we know. And I guess it should have been called some things we ought to know. Amen. And so we looked at some things that we know and that he shows us in the Word of God here. And he keeps on saying about we know these things and we know these things and it's things that we're supposed to know. And then we looked at this third sermon that he's real. I mean, John was saying, hey, we've seen him. Amen. We handled him. Amen. We heard him. He was here. It was real. I want you to know he's real. And we dealt with he's real. And then we dealt last time as Christ is the light. And there's that light. And there is no darkness in him. He could not sin. I personally believe in the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe he could have sinned. And so, but we see Christ as the light. God is the light. And we realize that Jesus Christ is the light. Jesus, when he's down here, he said, I'm the light of the world. Before he went away, he said, ye are the light of the world. And so we have a job to do, and that to be the light that God would have us to do. But we looked at that. We looked at full joy. We looked at fellowship. And tonight we want to look at forgiveness. I want to begin reading verse number 5, but really my text is, as we go on down through here, is a little bit latter in the text and in the reading. But the Bible says in chapter number 1, verse number 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, we gave you 7 reasons why the book of 1 John was written. It was written to provide fellowship. It was written that we might practice the fullness of joy. It was written that we might prohibit it from sin, keep us from sinning. And we'll deal with that in just a minute. And then it was to promote love among the brethren. As we go on, we'll find that in chapter number 2. It was to proclaim forgiveness of sins. And this is what we'll be talking about tonight. Also, it talks about it in chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. But we also, it was the believer's steadfastness. It was realized that you and I can be steadfast. We can have assurance, produce assurance in our life. And then, of course, it was written that for believers that ought to be seduced, that they would be protected. And so, but we want to look at verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship one with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, there is evidence of salvation in our life. Amen. If we can't get along with the brethren, amen, that we can see, amen, and love them, how can we love God that we cannot see? And of course, he talks about that in the book. But anyway, it goes on to say, he said, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Cleanses us from all sins. And this is real important about this thing of forgiveness. And in verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. I wonder how many of us tonight is deceivers. You say, preacher, I'm not a deceiver. I know the truth. Well, you know the truth as far as what we consider the sin payment that Jesus Christ paid that for you and I. And you may know the truth of salvation. You may be saved tonight and you know the truth and you're saved on your way to heaven. But you know even that, you can still be a deceiver. You said, oh, well, look what it says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, he is still writing to the believers here, but we realize that you and I can deceive our own self. If there's anything that we're good at thinking we're better than what we really are.
Amen.
Amen. And then look at verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he's not writing. This is not, we use this as an evangelistic verse, and I'm not against that. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he's actually talking to a believer here that when you and I, hey, well, if we walk down here, even though we're saved, we're still sinners. And even though we're saved, we still sin. Now, I believe we should sin a whole lot less. But we should, and I was teaching on the doctrine of man in our Bible college and teaching the doctrine of man. And I've got still one more lesson to teach on it tomorrow night. It actually took three times to teach on the doctrine of man. And you said, why deal with that so much? Because it's us. We looked at his innocency. We looked at man in his innocency. And when he was innocent in the garden, we looked at man under the nature or under the curse of sin. And then thank God, tomorrow night I'll get to look at him in the state of grace. Amen. Amen. That's a good one to look at right there. I'm glad we've been saved and we've been changed. We've made a new creature. Now we're in Christ. Amen. And we're under grace. And what a blessing that is to know. But we're all sinners as long as we live down here. But in the book of Romans, when he dealt with that, in the book of Romans, the Bible says you and I has the power to overcome sin. The Bible says we'll be dead to sin.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not trying to be dormant tonight, but if there was a dead body laying up here, you know I could call that body any kind of names I wanted to. He wouldn't get up and say a word about it. I could go down there and now, this is just hypothetical, okay? I could go down there and hit him, cut him. Amen. He wouldn't do a thing about it. Now, you got to admit, we have a problem dying out to self. What did he say about taking up that cross? Got to die to yourself. Lee Robertson said it well. Somebody asked him, he said, how'd you stay at the church there so long in Chattanooga? He said, the very first thing I had to learn to be able to stay there so long, he says, die to self. Die to self. You want to serve God? You have to die to self. You have to realize there's going to people that's not going to like you. There's going to people not going to agree with you. There's going to people that are going to misunderstand you. Hey, that's just part of the ministry. That's just part of living. That's just part of life. And then all kinds of other things. You have to learn to die out to self. And so a dead person feels no harm. A dead person says no harm, says no word. And of course, I know we can't be dead in our witness and stuff like that, but there's just an illustration there. And so we need to learn that we're to be dead to sin. And being that, we need to confess our sins. We need to keep a short report with the Lord. If I can put it this, a short account with him. Because I know, well, I can't say that because some of y'all are so spiritual, y'all may not be in this situation. But I know that I sin. And I have a problem with it. He said, preacher, I mean, you must just be really wicked. No, I'm probably just like you. I just have a problem with this old flesh. And it's not the sin of omission, sin of commission. Amen. I'm just saying, it's a different kind. I mean, and then if I don't, I got a bad problem having to watch what I think. You know, hey, if I get by a day doing something not saying something I shouldn't say, or then the thing about thinking something I shouldn't think.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And so I understand we have a problem. We have a sin problem. And so we're going to talk about forgiveness tonight. And I'm glad that you and I can be forgiven. You say, well, how can we be forgiven? Well, let me read the last verse here, and then I'll go back. If we confess that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What about that? Let's go back. Verse number 7 is the key to our sins being forgiven. The Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from all sin. I want to talk about forgiveness. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, it says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission. There's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Hey, I tell you this, it's this blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no denying, we cannot deny that this is a clear passage of scriptures that tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us.
Yes.
It's not our deeds. It's what Jesus Christ has done for you and I. It was the act of Calvary and the work of what Jesus Christ finished on Calvary for you and I. It was His sacrifice. It was His substitution. It was Him becoming sin for you and I. This totally does away with works salvation. This one verse. Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We realize that we were cleansed from all sin. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Amen. The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. The Bible tells in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through our good works, through our church membership. No, the Bible says through His blood. Amen. Preacher said, man, in our day and time, they're taking blood out of the song book. People don't want to talk about a bloody religion. But I tell you, without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there'd be no forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
For you and I. Now, I know we live in a day where people does not understand. You got to realize, unfortunately, in our day and time, we're raising, there's a generation out there that's being raised that does not know the Word of God. That's why Sunday school is so important. To get these young kids into, I mean, I'm talking about into the smallest of the classes. Get them here, the youngest. Why? To get, first of all, they need to learn the vocabulary of the Word of God. They need to learn these words that and what they mean. And as they come up through that, they're learning those things. But if you take some, I mean, I'm sure. I think about it sometimes when we have somebody visit, it may be a Catholic. We have somebody to visit that may be, you know, been in another religion. And I think, I'm sure they wonder, what in the world are those people doing? What are they talking about? But just because they don't understand the terminology don't mean you and I still don't need to preach about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They still, but we need to have to teach it. We need to have to explain it more. And so when we talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're actually talking about His sacrificial death on Calvary. We're actually talking about what Jesus Christ did. He paid our sin debt by giving His life, by giving His blood, by giving His body. Amen?
Amen.
And by dying on the cross. And of course, on the third day, He arose from the grave for our justification, that He might declare us righteous, that you and I realize that He's God.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right. And so just to explain that just a little bit. The message is very clear. It's very, and it should be very exciting to you and I that our sins can be forgiven.
Yes.
That our sins can. And not only just the sin debt, when John looked at Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world and His blood. But guess what? We got a problem with the sin and we had a problem and that debt's been paid. But since we got saved, we have a problem with sinning. There's a difference now. So the sin debts took care of. You understand? Sin debt. S-I-N. But our problem is not the S-I-N now. Our problem is the S-I-N-S. The sins that we commit now. So my committing sin didn't take will not take me to hell.
Amen.
I was born a sinner. So when I was born in this world, I was born deprived. I was born a sinner. Amen. And so because I was a sinner, I needed salvation.
Right.
It's not because of something I did.
Yeah.
Now, we use this evangelistically. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, if you're drinking, if you're doing all these different things, amen, you're a sinner. And you need to be saved because you're sinning. But really, it's not. You need to be saved because you're a sinner. Because
right.
You can be the goodest person in the world and still be a sinner. You cannot be doing those things and still be a sinner. You need salvation. So we get this sin problem took care of, but then we have a sinning problem. And this sinning problem deals with our fellowship. And then our fellowship can't be right until we get this sinning problem dealt with. Amen. This cannot be right. So he's trying to, we're dealing with forgiveness, but it actually plays back to fellowship. Because if God didn't forgive us, we couldn't have the fellowship. Amen. And so hopefully we'll get to that in just a minute. First of all, I want us to look at this sin problem. Sins. The prominence of sin. Hey, sin has affected us. Sin has affected the heavens and affected the earth. There's a seven effects of sin in mankind. And when man sinned, first of all, we know that death came into play. Wherefore, by one man sinned in the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I'm just going to give you these seven. I'm not going to preach them. One is shame came. In Genesis 3:7, when Adam and Eve sinned, they realized that they was naked. The Bible says before that they was naked and was not ashamed. But now some people believe that God was shielded in a raiment of white, of light, and that even Adam and Eve was shielded in a raiment of some kind of light or some kind of covering. I have no idea about that. You say, why not? Because the Bible don't say. Amen. Not really. I mean, they kind of read in something here and read in something there. But I do know this. There was something that was, whether it was mentally or physically or something, there was something that they could not know each other was naked. Now, I'm not being off color here. I'm just teaching the Bible. Amen. There's something. But when man sinned, whatever it was there was went away, or mentally, whatever it was, that innocence was gone. Amen. I liken it to, you know, when you was a little bitty baby and child. I mean, whoever took pictures of this ought to be shot. But I have a picture somewhere of me and my best friend Jimmy. We're out there in the bathtub all together, you know, just right there in the bathtub. This little bitty, I mean, I'm just talking, we're just about 2 years old. And there's an innocency there, is there not, in children? Amen. But I'm saying, but that finally went away, did it not? Amen. And so the same thing. Sin brought in that shame. It brought in the shame. Then it brought in fear. I don't believe Adam had ever feared before. Oh, no. But when Jesus came, when God came to, and he said, "Where art thou, Adam?" And always remember this. You hear me say it all the time. When God asks a question, he does not ask it for information. He asks it for our investigation. "Where art thou, Adam?" So won't you investigate where you're at tonight? "Where art thou, Adam?" And Adam, the Bible says that he was afraid. He was fearful. I don't think he'd ever been fearful to hear God's voice before. Why was it? Because he had sinned. Fear came in. We find that discord came in. I'm studying now, Brother, I don't know what got into Brother Wayne Cofield, but he lost his mind, don't know nothing about God. And he asked me to come and teach at their couples retreat. And they have a retreat up in Gatlinburg. I think it's in April. Anyway, I'm studying, trying to put some things together. And I was looking at this because I use this in my doctrines on man. And I thought, you know, here's all the things that we have problems with in our families between husband and wife. Discord. Discord came in. You say, how did it come in? Adam said this, "That woman you gave me, she gave to him." And then she said, "Hey, that serpent." Discord came in because of sin. We find that suffering came in because of sin. Genesis 3:16, he begins to talk about the wife and how she'll have sorrow during childbirth. And then we see weakness of labor came in. And then we see separation came in. God had to pull him out of the garden. Had to put him out of the garden. And of course, it was separation also between God and man there. And we know that's what sin does. Sin separated. Sin is a universal difficulty of mankind and of God. So sin, the first thing sin does, it estranges us or it separates us from man, from God, and God from man. That's what sin does. It separates. It puts a barrier between God and man. The second thing sin does, is it enslaves man. It's because of our sins. It enslaves our appetite, our desires. The devil uses these things to enslave us. So he fights dirty. He knows what our weaknesses are. I mean, and he uses the things, our appetites, our ambitions, our thoughts, our affections, even, I mean, everything that is about man, the devil will use those things to cause them to try to separate them from God, to enslave them in sin. That's what does sin. Sin brings us under bondage. It enslaves you and I. I'm talking about the prominence of sin in our life. And then the third thing sin does, it's inescapable. It's going to happen to everybody. It's unchangeable. And that is that it entails death. The wages of sin is death. Amen. The wages of sin is death. So we see the prominence of sin. But hey, this gets better, oh, thank the Lord. Somebody say amen, it's getting better. The provisions of the blood. Here we come to the verse. It says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, it reconciles us to God. We're no longer estranged from God. But we have made peace through the blood, the Bible says, of His cross. He's reconciled us back to Him. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the blood tonight. Amen. The blood, Jesus Christ hung on that tree on Calvary's cross. There He hung for you and He hung for me. And God made Him a curse and God made Him sin for you and I, that we could be reconciled, redeemed, that we could be born again, that we could be part of the family of God, that we can be once again in fellowship with Him. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He became that curse for you and I. Sin kills, but the blood of Jesus Christ brings life. We was dead in trespasses and what? Sin. But now we've been what? Quickened and made alive through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Spirit of God. You and I live. We have everlasting life now. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The provisions of the blood. But then we see the pathway of receiving the blood. How do we receive this salvation? How do we receive this? Well, Alexander Pope said this. He said, the error is human. To err is human. But to forgive is divine. And that's what Jesus Christ was willing to do for you and I. He was willing to forgive us. Forgiveness is undeserving. We don't deserve to be forgiven. Amen. Now, you just think about it. He doth do good, doeth not him in his sin. Okay? I mean, God saves us, gave us a home in heaven, wrote a name down in the Lamb Book of Life. You say, I get tired of hearing that. Well, I'm sorry, but you're going to keep hearing it. It's one of the greatest truths in the world. And guess what you and I come along and do? If I could say it this way, you and I come along and in spite of all Jesus Christ has done for us, we deliberately sin. Now, I know what some of y'all say. Preacher, you don't know that. I think it was in my McCully jeans. You know, because I'm, you know, we live in a society today, you know, well, I have this problem today because my mom, because my dad done this to me. I think a lot of your problems today is because of what you choose to do. You say, well, I'm an alcoholic because my mother was an alcoholic. You're an alcoholic because you want to be an alcoholic. Yes. You choose to be an alcoholic. Nobody's making you take that drink. Now, I know I have never been under that addiction. And I'm not making light of that. Please, I'm not making light of that. I really ain't. But I do believe this. It is your choice. I'm a druggie because I was raised around drugs. No, you're a druggie because you take drugs. Somewhere you're going to have to own up to the fact you're a sinner because you sin. Amen. Well, you know, I got a problem with lying because, you know, my whole family's always been liars. And I was just raised and I was taught. No, you know what? You're a liar. You're a liar because you tell lies. Amen. That's exactly why. We've got to own up to the fact that we're going to have fellowship with Him. We're going to have to confess our sins. Notice, go to the text now. Here it is. The 911 in the Bible. Amen. We need to dial it a lot more. If we confess our sins, it's our sins. Yes, sir. Yeah, now, I have no problem confessing other people's sin. Or you poor help so-and-so. I mean, they are sinners. I mean, help them out, Lord. Oh, Lord, I mean that. Amen. But when we look into the mirror of the Word of God and it shows you that you're a sinner and it's your sins that's God doing. It's kind of like that elderly lady was sitting in church. And that preacher started preaching on smoking. She said, amen. Amen, preacher. Leans over that lady beside her. It's going to be a sin to burn something that tastes so good. But then he got to preaching on dipping. She leaned over and said, he stopped preaching now and start meddling. And sometimes we just start, God starts meddling, don't he? It's our sins. Amen. It's how we're treating our wife. It's how we're treating our husband. I mean, it's the things that we're doing down on the job. It's our unfaithfulness to God. It's our unfaithfulness to read our Bible. Our unfaithfulness to pray. It's me, oh Lord. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's me and Lord. It's Lord. It's me in need of prayer. It's I'm the one. I'm the problem. So if we would just own up. Oh man, my number one enemy. My number one enemy. You say is Satan. Well, I understand that. But my number one enemy is that man I see in the mirror that I shave every day. Huh? That's my problem. I have a problem with him. Amen. The Bible talks about there's a law of sin that lives within me. And there's a law of the spirit that lives within me. And I mean, there's war. And I have people talk about dual and triple personality. I got a dual personality. I guarantee you, buddy. I mean, there's some things I want to do and I don't find myself doing it. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray more. I believe you want to do that. But guess what? You're not doing it. Why? Because that battle's going on. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Forgiveness is undeserving. It's unnatural to man. It's unnatural for us to forgive. Do you realize when we forgive, we're acting like God? When we forgive one another and love one another, we're being examples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let God... Now, he tells us here, he said, if you'll walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So who are we walking like? We're walking like Christ. We're loving like Christ. We have an attitude like Christ. We have the mind of Christ. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Okay? So even in the Lord's Prayer, does it not deal with our relationship with others? Yes, sir. It sure does. And so here, in this thing of forgiveness, it deals with our relationship with others. Hey, if you're not... Let me wave the white flag for a minute, please. If we're not willing to forgive others, then God's not willing to forgive us. You say, well, how many times I have to forgive them? They do the same thing. Oh, well, 70 times 7, figure that one out. 70 times 7, 490 times. I don't think God was saying that the 490. Some of y'all are counting. Amen. You got the little marks down. Amen. I'll never forget. I'll use this story. I hope Brother Steve don't mind. But we went down to Steen Hatchie. We go fishing. And one time I thought, I'm going to count how many fish I caught. I mean, we was catching fish like crazy. We couldn't keep them. They wasn't big enough. But Steve couldn't find big fish, but you know, that we keep. And so I put paper, and I'm just marking them off. And I caught, I believe it was about 90, right around 90 fish that day. I caught, boom, and I caught all the little more. Some of y'all are marking it off just like that. I forgave them. You're hoping you get to 490. That 490 went, Lord, I don't have to do it. That is not what he was meaning to say. He is saying you're going to have to keep forgiving. That's it. Amen. Forgiveness is unnatural to us. It's only natural to God. We have, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins through faith in his blood. Okay, I've got to end this thing. She's coming to play. So he that believeth has life. Faith is his mighty power. Faith is his willingness, his ability to forgive. The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Our Lord.
and we put faith in Him. If we walk in light, that's repentance. That's a light of repentance. If we walk in the light of faith, then beloved, we must also follow the light of confession. We must confess. We must realize who we are, what we are. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is about what He does for you and I. And without that forgiveness, you and I will not have fellowship. I wrote this down. We must follow the light of confession. We must confess our sins to get forgiveness of our sins, to have fellowship with the Father. And if we're walking in the light, you know what the light does? The light exposes things. You know why men don't like the light? Because their deeds are evil. You know why people don't want to come to church here preaching? That light, that word, convicts them. Amen. If I could say it like this, and I'm done. If I could say it like this, you know what? We could have worldly music, all kinds of different stuff. People still wouldn't come to this church if we still preach like we did. Why? Because they don't want to be exposed to the light. When you're doing something wrong, you don't want somebody to be telling you about it. Amen. You don't like somebody to point out your wrong. Why? It's against our nature to need to be forgiven. Against our nature to be told what to do. Against our nature. We're standing heads bowed. Let's just take a moment. Let God speak to our hearts. We all, there from the back row all the way to the front row to the pulpit, we all have this problem of sin. Dear Heavenly Father, God, let us not be deceivers of our own self. God, help us to be truly look into the mirror of Your Word. And may, Father, we investigate and take inventory of our own life and speak to our hearts, we pray. Honestly, God, I could walk closer. Honestly, God, I believe others could be closer to You. God, help us to confess our sins, that we might have that forgiveness, that we might have the fellowship that we need with You. Because of that fellowship, we'll have the peace we need, we'll get the power we need, and we'll know the purpose, God, of our life. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.